So. Yeah, and in terms of that.
Back, that's right. Love should get you this weekend. And if you don't have that special someone to celebrate Valentine's weekend with, you have the Super Bowl tomorrow. Super Bowl parties. Love to hear what's going on in Waukesha. And if you're trying to figure out who to root for, since the Packers aren't in it, one angle we can take from Wisconsin is the greatest nose tackle in Cincinnati Bengals history is also a Wisconsin Badger. Jason or Pete, can you tell me who he is? I'll give you time to think about that while we return to the real conversation with Pete. So Pete and I were just talking about, yes, Valentine's Day weekend, and maybe not the timing isn't right, but we, the people of Wisconsin and the nation and the people of Waukesha, are subsidizing Big Sugar in a big way. And then we do a double dip when we're paying for products with added sugar at the supermarket or paying for sugar in general. We're double dipping. And on top of that, you know, added sugar is contributing to, you know, before there was COVID, there was an even bigger pandemic called type 2 diabetes. Over 34 million with mostly with type 2, and then 88 million Americans with pre-diabetes. And so there was a health crisis even before COVID. But then I'm going to throw another wrinkle in this. We, the people of Wisconsin and the Northeast Midwest region of the U.S., we account for a certain percentage of the American budget, the federal government budget. Let's just pretend for now it's 30% or 25%. But we do not get that same amount back in federal government money back to our region. It all goes to a lot of these Sunbelt industries, including Big Sugar, including many defense contractors. And it doesn't sound like anybody from Wisconsin at the national level is talking about that or raising that conversation about how we get our value back. Pete, what do you have to say about that?
It's something that's got to be addressed. It's a little bit difficult when you layer that on top of figuring out exactly what is in the best interest in terms of spending money on all the programs on which we have to spend money. And it's something that I am paying attention to. And it's been the case for a long time that a number of states have traditionally paid more in taxes than they've taken back from the federal government in terms of federal spending. That's an issue which has to be addressed. And making sure we're doing something for family farmers has to be addressed, as opposed to doing it for Big Sugar. And there are a number of other subsidies in that area, which somebody's got to take a look at and ask some very hard questions, which I'm prepared to do. But it gets down to a pretty detailed level in a number of different areas. And what you're talking about definitely happens. And part of it may be the way our constitutional system is set up and provides, you know, who gets seats in the House, everybody gets the same number of seats in the Senate, but who gets seats in the House may have a lot to do with that and the way industry just developed. But that's a very good point. It's something of which I'm aware and to which I intend to pay attention.
Sure. Yeah, another area, too, is that there's one thing that COVID taught us is that we need to bring a lot of a great deal of our basic manufacturing back. Because when COVID hit and we realized that for some of our most basic needs, we have to cross borders. And we realized that was a great thing to do in peacetime or non-pandemic times because of it might have been cheaper. But, you know, God forbid, and again, I don't want to cast aspersions with everything that's going on in the Ukraine border, but, you know, if we go to a war, how are we going to get these things that we need? I know there's been a priority in both administrations, Trump and Biden administration, have favored this, wanting to do more to incentivize manufacturing. You know, what are the opportunities for like Waukesha, which has a pretty good manufacturing infrastructure, and for the rest of our state, and of course for the nation? How can we bring some of that manufacturing back and put people back to work?
It's going to be a matter at a national level of focusing on it. And unfortunately, there's a lot of deindustrialization or just moving production overseas, which turns out to have been a very bad idea. It may have led to some short-term financial gains, but it certainly is been very harmful to working people in this country and people, you know, who were producing things in factories around Wisconsin, in Waukesha, elsewhere in this country. And some attention has got to be paid to that. There used to be a lot of attention paid to the critical materials we needed to defend our country for the Defense Department. That attention apparently has decreased to the extent that we're now reliant on other countries for some of the things we can and should be making here. And maybe the government is going to have to get into it. They've raised the issue a little bit with respect to some of the cell phones coming in from the People's Republic of China. And the same issue can be raised with semiconductors, can and should be raised with semiconductors. A lot of that production has moved overseas. And it's a matter of, it is not a trivial matter to bring it back because the factories needed to make semiconductor chips these days are in the billions of dollars a piece just to put up the factory. And then you need people who know how to operate that factory. It's not a matter of just bending metal. I mean, bending metal is difficult enough to turn out a good car. Yeah. All right, but this is much more complicated, and the tolerances are very, very small because of what's required to produce various kinds of high-tech goods.
And you mentioned cars. You just gave me an idea. There is a huge, if you read the Wall Street Journal, there is a huge investment from the financial community in what they're calling green financing. We're talking trillions of dollars they want to make available to develop green economies, because even, you know, them and really one of the most conservative institutions of our capitalist system are recognizing the need for green economies and green solutions in order to save the planet. And what do you see our opportunities that a U.S. senator could do to create green economies here in Wisconsin and green jobs? You know, again, like an electric car or some of these other solutions that could really help advance, especially if the money's there and it's coming from the private sector. Like, what can a U.S. senator do? You know, what should a U.S. senator be doing to build those bridges?
Do what one can to make sure that production goes on here. Whether it's windmills, you can see them over substantial portions of the state of Wisconsin. There are ways to develop our manufacturing base such that those windmills, which produce electricity, are produced right here. And a lot of other things. There's, for example, putting, you know, solar panels on homes. Mm-hmm. There's solar. There's wind. There are a number of other areas where, if people are paying attention, in particular when items have to be produced, to getting them produced right here. But somebody's got to focus on it, and try and, you know, and spread it out. We've got a manufacturing history in Wisconsin, and we have the people who can do it. And it's a matter of producing them, educating them, training them. These can be complicated technical areas to a certain extent, and we've got to make sure that we provide the education and motivate people to get educated here and to stay here. And they're going to be staying here because we've got the jobs here and the factories here, which are producing the items we're going to need for a green economy. And I think a United States senator can add his office to that effort and speak up for it, and to the extent possible, see that funds are directed in that direction. That is made available to make that happen in the state of Wisconsin.
Sounds great. And, you know, speaking of green industries, and I appreciate you sharing this with me earlier, is that you look at our lakes and our rivers and our inland bodies of water, which represent less than 1% of the world's surface, but 51% of the world's fish, not seafood, but just fish, come from our lakes and our rivers and those inland bodies of water. And Wisconsin has those. And in a lot of other Midwestern states, there are some very encouraging developments in the aquaculture area. And again, what can a U.S. senator do to bring attention to this and to create more opportunities in this sector? Because there's not only green benefits to that, but there's also opportunities to address food insecurity, as well as just job and career growth creation.
I think, among other things, it's a matter of getting together with local people who either have a factory or are interested in putting one up, to see that to the extent funds are made available federally for programs like this, that a reasonable share of those funds come to the state of Wisconsin. And there are a number of things which act together. It's having the workforce that can do it, training that workforce, educating the workforce, having the materials there, and having people ready, you know, to run the factories to produce what we're talking about. And I think it's got to happen in that way. And somebody's got to be paying attention when funding is made available to support the green economy, to make certain that those funds are spent wisely and spent wisely in Wisconsin to develop our ability to produce and contribute to the green economy, not only for stuff we're putting in place in Wisconsin, but elsewhere around the country and ultimately around the world, if that works out financially in terms of making stuff here and shipping it abroad.
Sounds great. So, all right, well, we're going to go to a break, but before, for those of you paying attention, that greatest nose tackle in Cincinnati Bengals history, who was also a Wisconsin Badger, is Todd Crumry.
So, if you're looking, Todd or Tim?
You know what? It is Tim Crumry. Wait, Jason, I was just testing you to see
Did he go to Elk Mound High School?
You know, I think he did, but I know he was a star at Wisconsin back when Wisconsin football wasn't what it is today.
Yep.
And had an amazing, and he was actually had a pretty much a career-ending injury in the Super Bowl against San Francisco, the one that the Niners won in that last-second touchdown from Montana to Taylor. But Todd Crumry remains in the Wisconsin football mythology. And so if you're looking for a team to root for, there could be a reason there to root for the Bengals. So let's take a break, and we're going to come back with more from Pete Pekarsky, candidate for U.S. Senate.